Well, I appreciate prayer today. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me, but there's, I don't know, my thoughts are kind of scattered. This journey is pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The journey of life. Doesn't always go the way maybe we think it ought to go. Things happen that we don't really desire to happen sometimes. But I believe today the Lord is over all. And the Lord promised to be with us and to help us. And he never promised it would be all roses and easy. I'd like to look in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. This chapter is speaking about Israel's return from captivity in the midst, and this is before the captivity. Jeremiah's journey was very interesting, and I admire the grace of God that was on Jeremiah's life and all that he went through. I've done a lot of reading on the history. But I'd like to notice the third verse. It says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And verse 8, it says, "Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, with them, the blind, the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." So this is their return, but I want to notice, I'd like to drop down to verse 15. It said, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel," or Rachel, "weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." This is a prophecy. We know what this is referring to. I'll not go into all the detail, but Ramah was a little place just south of Jerusalem. It was actually between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And that's the place where Jacob buried his wife Rachel. But, and I'm really not sure why the Lord put what I'm reading here now in this return, but it expresses bitter weeping, great sorrow, great trouble of heart. I'd like to drop down to verse 18 now. "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, "Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth." These two things are talking about deep sorrow. The smiting upon the thigh, Adam Clark brings out, it's also mentioned in Ezekiel, but it's just, it's a hard place. It's a bitter weeping. It's a place of trouble. And he says, "I was ashamed. I was confounded." And that is mentioned in this, in these chapters about returning. And it's very interesting to me. It's been a very great blessing to me in my life. He said, Ephraim, he said, "I was unaccustomed to the yoke." It depicts self-will. It depicts kind of doing things our own way.
Yes.
Perhaps following our own path.
Yes.
Unaccustomed to really relying upon God and looking to the Lord for help. Really seeking Him with all of our hearts for the right course and the right direction. And it brought him, he was chastened. The Lord worked in him. But he also, it also said, "I did bear the reproach of my youth." I think about not necessarily, I think about the dysfunction sometimes that we come up with in our homes. That we don't realize it's dysfunction. I came from a very very dysfunctional home, but I didn't realize it. We carry when we give our hearts to the Lord, which I did. I was saved in my grade school years, probably about third grade, where I really felt God, the peace of God come into my life, and I knew God was God. I knew He was real. But I got away from the Lord after that, and the Lord dealt with me again at different times, and I didn't know it was God at the time. But through my teenage years, I remember looking back after I learned how the Lord works with people, that He was talking to me, and I didn't realize it, that it was God altogether at the time. We get saved, and the Lord saves us from a life of sin. He changes. He makes a great change. in our heart and life. But we can still have, we may not have all the land of Canaan that God has for us. I may be pure and innocent in what I'm trying to do, but I don't see and have things in a good perspective like I should. There's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. You know, we can discuss things and agree with each other. Yeah, I believe what you're saying. But there's a difference between that and when it comes from experience. And some of these lessons, and that's why I started out, life is pretty interesting. It's it's a learning, it's a very learning experience. If we feel like we've got it all figured out, we're in trouble. And they went through, there was some hard things here, but I want to have you had bitter weeping in your Christian life?
Yes.
I think probably all of us have.
Yes.
We've had times, and I remember Brother Mark Sammons, he made a statement years ago. In one of his messages, he said, trying to do the best that I could do, I still made some failures. At my very best. I understand that a little bit more now than what I did then. The Lord wants to teach us, and at those times, failures are not very easy, but the Lord wants us to learn in our life to seek His, what He's trying to show us and what He's trying to teach us.
Yes.
I believe He's a teacher. He wants to show us things and reveal things that we can't see or figure out within ourselves. But I want us to notice in our deep failures, our mistakes that we've made, I want us to notice verse 20. He said, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still.
Yes.
Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord."
Yes.
The Lord brought Ephraim, and you know, sometimes it's our own failures that it's the Lord too. I mean, it's the Lord teaching us through those things, but it's our own. Sometimes we confront our own mistakes, our own failures. But the Lord deeply loved Ephraim.
Amen.
Through all of that. He was unaccustomed to the yoke. He was self-willed. He made some deep failures and mistakes. But he said, my bowels are troubled for him. It was like the Lord was looking down, wanting him to make it. Wanted him to see himself. And at those times, I believe it's important for us to humble ourselves as low as we can before God. And I believe the Lord seeks to humble us in life. I mentioned to someone the other day, I feel like the unleavened loaf. I feel pretty flattened out. That's why I feel my spirit. I feel like I've been run over. But I believe that's where the Lord teaches us. And He can talk to us. So many times we're full of ourselves. We're too full of our thoughts. We're too full of us trying to figure things out and trying to do it our own way. And the Lord wants us to bring us to that place of humility. In verse 16 it says, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. This is during the bitter weeping. There comes a point where the Lord said, refrain thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end. That's good news to me. When it looks like sometimes the enemy has stolen about everything. There is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I'm thankful today that the Lord can work with situations. Sometimes we have to take our hands off and we've got to submit things to the Lord and submit it into His hand. But I'm confident today that our Heavenly Father is working. I wanted to share, Leah and I, on our way home from our little trip that we took, was listening to a guy's testimony. And more dysfunction. His mother was an alcoholic. His dad, I don't remember what all of his issues were. They divorced when he was young. He went back and forth. He said when he was 12 years old, he remembers he shut his parents out of his heart. He shut them off. He became rebellious. And then this man passed on his dysfunction also to his family. But he got saved, and the Lord began to work with him. And all of his life, he just blamed his mom and dad. They were to be blamed. They were the majority of the blame. But after he began serving the Lord, he began to realize that he did some things that he needed to address with his parents He liked to golf. His dad liked to golf. They were on the golf course. And he looked at his dad and he asked him to forgive him for being a rebellious teen. And he mentioned different things that he did that his dad had never addressed any of his own issues, any of the past. And that seems to be the way of human nature many times, is not to address. That's a terrible mistake.
Yes, it is.
And I believe the Lord brings us, just like He did Balaam, where He narrowed the path down. I believe the Lord in life narrows the path down and brings us into those places where we look at me. Many people go through life blaming their circumstances, blaming their past, blaming. We don't get anywhere when we always blame everybody and everything else. It dwarfs us. It keeps us from receiving what the Lord really has for us. His dad was overwhelmed. His dad was shocked. His dad couldn't believe his ears. And there was a long pause. His dad was processing. He was facing reality.
Yes.
And finally he spoke up and he said, "I'm not going to forgive you until you forgive me."
It's the Lord.
He broke down and started crying. And their relationship began to blossom after that. You know, it's hard to confront failure. It's hard to say I was wrong. But the Lord is looking for humility. When I look back in my life, my younger years, I can see places of pride. I can see places of self-will. And I'm thankful today that the Lord's mercy is great and His help is great.
Yes.
But the Lord wants us to come to a place of I can't do it without your help. Total reliance, total dependence. And I thought about the verse too that mentions, he said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Yes.
It says the Lord resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
I will tell us this, if we've made failures with our children, and I think the best of parents do, we shouldn't override it and forget about it. We need to address it and apologize. It's where the Lord can begin to bring healing.
Amen.
When you see these, I don't know, you look around in life and it's just the casualties, the wounded are great. Sometimes it's overwhelming.
Yes.
But there is answers.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. That's true.
There is help.
Yes, there is.
But it's only going to be by humility.
Yes. That's right.
I thought about humility, and there's a song that we sing, if I can remember. Let's see if I can get the right. Psalm 201. Humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart. It's a secret veil.
Yes. Yes.
It's a place that is hidden from our natural makeup, from what we actually want to do. Where showers of blessing never fail and glories ne'er depart. Humility, how pure thy place, thou seat of holiness, the door of entrance into grace and everlasting bliss. It's an entrance into grace. When we humble ourselves before God and we seek Him. I thought about Jesus. You know, he said He spake this parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It's easy to despise those that don't see things like we do.
That's so. Yes, it is.
That's what Jesus is talking about. It said the man Pharisee prayed thus with himself, I'm thankful that I'm not as other men are. I give tithes, I fast. And I'm sure thankful I'm not like this sinner here that's praying today. But the sinner said he wouldn't, or the publican wouldn't lift up his eyes so much to heaven. You know, he was humbled, this man was. And he wasn't looking to blame anybody else. And I believe true humility is that way. True humility just accepts responsibility. You know, our submission to God is seen by our submission in our relationships of life. We can't be under God's authority and not be under being subject to the authorities of our life. The government, our boss. It's a reflection. If we can submit ourselves and our relationships, it means we're in true submission to the Lord. But if we can't, because I believe firmly that the physical helps us to see the spiritual. I wanted to mention just a little bit about Job. Let's see if I can find it. It's towards the last of Job. Job was hurt in his life by all the things that transpired with him. And we know earlier readings that he wanted to talk to God. Face to face. He wanted, but he couldn't find him. You know, he looked every which way and he couldn't find. But Job was hurt like anyone else would be hurt going through the things that he went through. But I want to notice in chapter 40, in the first verse, it says, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." You know, we may not try to contend with the Almighty in a verbal conversation, but we can sure do it sometimes in our hearts and our minds. We can question God. And reading on verse down 3, it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Gird up thy loins now like a man, I will demand of thee. and declare thou unto me. All these negative things that happened in Job's life, he questioned. Why?
Yes.
I'm sure I would too.
Yes,
I have.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
But the Lord is talking to him out of the tornado.
Yes.
Or the whirlwind. And he said, gird up thy loins now like a man, and I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. What would that amount to? Nothing. You know, the Lord never told Job why. When you read all these questions, he says, he asked him questions that way over his head. He never gave him an answer of why. You know, the Lord doesn't have to.
Yes.
If he does sometimes, that's wonderful. But he didn't have to answer for what he does. He's God.
Yes.
He's Father. He's over all. I want to read also in the 42nd chapter, the last chapter. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee. Now this is the Lord declaring to me. This is Job. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When he saw the glory of the Lord and he heard the Lord's voice, said, it's enough. Everything's fine. You don't have to say no more. Job, it says here, verse 10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You remember his friends? Now, I believe, I've studied this out, but these were actually kings that came to Job. They were rulers. They were men of wealth like Job was. And I believe, if I remember right, they were even kind of related to Job. And I believe they really came to comfort him. But the enemy, in one of the scriptures you read, it said, a spirit passed by me, my hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I heard a voice saying, shall a man be more righteous than his maker? And that's when that was Satan. That's when they took that argument against Job. So Satan got his hand in there. And they accused Job of being wrong. But Job, it said he prayed for his friends. That means he forgave them. He released them. Even though they did him wrong. And when the Lord saw that humility, it said he turned the captivity of Job. You know, we pray for unsaved children. We pray for the unsaved. But I feel like sometimes there's things that hinder God from moving and working, and sometimes it's us. When there's things that we haven't accepted, that we haven't dealt with, that we haven't acknowledged, that we haven't humbled ourselves to. Just like that son that asked his father, the majority of the fault was on his dad. But he took the areas that he messed up, and it helped his dad. It broke something there. It broke his heart, for one thing. Yes. He couldn't believe his son was asking forgiveness. So Lord, help us today. Help us. I believe the Lord calls us to these places of humility. It said, secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessing comes when we humble ourselves before God and we accept our failures. And we just don't put the blame on others. Well, if they wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have done that. No, that's not real humility. Humility says nothing else matters but me and God. And I believe, you know, there's different types of captivities that come in life. There's different types of things that we can't pray around. We can't pray over. We've got to go down. I think about Rosie a few years ago. Philip and Rosie came out to Oregon. We did a little raft trip at times. And the currents, you just got to stay on top of it. Anyway, they had a rubber raft. They got in the limbs. It ripped a big hole. My daughter was in there. And another little girl was with Philip and Rosie. The raft, the air went out, all the raft stuff floating all down the river. And my daughter's was greatly affected by that. Rosie got caught in the branches. Philip couldn't. Couldn't pull her out. And she was stuck. They were in a current right there by the side. A lot of people have gone into eternity that way. But Rosie, the Lord, she heard a voice and it said, go down, go down. So she did. She let go and she went under. And the current brought her out from under the limbs, and she was able to make it. She made it. I think the Lord, many times the Spirit will say the same thing to us.
Yes.
To go down.
Yes.
It's hard. Oh, it's hard. But the Lord is there.
Thank the Lord.
The Lord is there when we do. I appreciate your attention this afternoon. I hope these thoughts will be a blessing and help to us.